Let us pray. Dear God, may your Spirit warm our spirits, inspire us to do your work, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. On Tuesday, we'll be marking 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, initiated by Martin Luther in 1517, when he popularly nailed the 95 Theses to the Wittenberg church door. The 95 Theses primarily were criticizing the practices of indulgences, selling indulgences by the Roman Catholic Church. And the idea of the indulgence was the saints would have a surplus of goodness for their salvation, and the church was custodian of this surplus. And so they could sell the surplus to people who had loved ones suffering in purgatory in order to reduce their time in purgatory. Now, Luther believed that salvation came from faith in Jesus, not from indulgences and not from good works. But if you had somebody you believed was suffering in purgatory, how could you resist buying an indulgence? And how could the church resist the money? So, Martin Luther was a Catholic priest. He was teaching at the university, in particular, the book of Romans and the book of Galatians, the letter to the Galatians, which Don read this morning, the passage. So he believed in justification by faith alone. If you read the October Observer, and in particular the cover story, you would have learned a lot about Luther. This is a complicated icon. Why complicated? Well, he's known for his accomplishments. He started the Reformation, challenged the Roman Catholic Church. He translated the Bible into the German vernacular. He disseminated his ideas using the recently invented printing press. He wrote new liturgies for the church. He wrote hymns, one of which we'll sing presently, "A Mighty Fortress Is My God." He was a celibate priest who married a former nun and had six children. It's an accomplishment. But he was also known for his anti-Semitism and the fact that he did not support the peasants in the peasant revolt. So we might say he was a man of his times. Anti-Semitism was quite widespread at that time. Martin Luther was a reformer, and in this he was in the mode of Jesus himself. His So I believe Jesus, his aim was to reform Judaism. And I don't think he had any idea that he would form a new church, the Christian church. Just as I'm sure Luther was trying to reform the Catholic Church. He wasn't trying to form a Lutheran church. And I'm sure he had no idea that all the Protestant denominations would form around the world from his action. But the powers to be are very tough on reformers. Jesus was crucified. Luther was excommunicated and surely would have been executed but for the protection of Frederick, the Elector of Saxony. So let's think about the word Reformation. Kind of accept that Reformation as a word, but do we really think about what it means? Reformation, reshaping the church, because that's what Luther did. Reshaped the Christian church. Surely today, the Christian church needs reforming. We're all aware of the statistics, falling attendance, church closures, amalgamations, financial crises. Say, what's going on here? Back in the 50s and 60s, the North American churches grew and thrived. Why aren't they now? But the world has changed. We don't live in the world of the 50s and 60s. The world has changed, and the church has to change. Some people see what's going on with the churches today as a movement of the Spirit. Forcing us to change. So, how would we change? Bishop Spahn wrote a book, wrote many books, Why Christianity Must Change or Die. And in it, he has a vision of what the church of the future might look like. He isn't pessimistic. He doesn't think the church is going to die. But it's going to be different. And he talks about how the church structures are going to change. So we would no longer need spires pointing to heaven, because we don't think heaven's up there. Heaven's in our midst. And we'll no longer be able to have great buildings. So our buildings will be more utilitarian and strategically located in communities, in the communities they serve. And he thinks about our liturgy and our music. You know, I often find myself singing a hymn. I say, I don't believe that anymore. So if we have a different idea of God and belief in God, well then our music and our liturgy should reflect that. So he's talking about faith in a God who calls us to go beyond our limits in fully living, wastefully loving, and courageous being. But how do we get there? Well, yesterday, John Ryerson and I went to a workshop led by Alan Roxburgh, and he wrote this book, Joining God, Remaking Church, Changing the World. Alan Roxburgh is an Anglican priest who has made it his work now to help churches deal with the issues we're facing today. He believes that we're focusing in the wrong place. So we focus on how many people are in church, how much money's in the collection plate. So our focus should be our work for God. And he says it's a mistake to be inward focused. We should be going out into the community. It's not easy stuff because it requires change, requires risk and courage to go out into the community and to listen. His idea is God is out in the community working now. And we need to catch up to God. And we have to learn not to be the host, to be the guest. And he takes as his pattern a passage from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. And this is the description of Jesus sending out the 70 followers in pairs to go to all the cities and towns that Jesus is going to visit. In other words, out into the neighborhoods of Galilee. And he says, don't take any purse or bag or sandals. In other words, travel light. What does that mean for us? How do we travel light? Well, one way to travel light is to get rid of baggage. And we've got a lot of baggage in the Christian church. We need to go out, listen to what the people are saying. And another thing he says is we have permission to fail. Now this sounds like John Pentland. He says you try things, it doesn't work, okay. Do something else. We don't have to succeed every time. How do we learn? Hopefully we learn from our failures. And that's what we need to do. Now, Alan has a whole plan of how this could work. And it's not as though we're going to take and come up with a new plan for our church. We've got the Fairlawn Call. And that's a great plan. It was part of our restructuring. So, in certain respects, we're ahead on the curve. But we want to become a more vibrant and growing church, growing in our faith. Hopefully growing in numbers, but growing in our faith. So, Alan's approach becomes a way for us to do that within the Fairlawn Call. And that's something we need to work out. And we will work out. So, keep posted for future developments. So, let us listen for God's leading. Let us take heart, be courageous, take risks, trust in God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So be it.